It didn't happen all at once. That was the part that took me the longest to understand. There was no meeting where my name was spoken differently. No warning email. No confrontation in a hallway. Nothing that could be pointed to and labeled as punishment. It started with a shift it didn't get offered. Then another. Then, an assumption that I wouldn't be available, even though I always had been. People stopped looping me in. Not everyone. Just enough. My boss stayed pleasant, careful, polite in that very Finnish way where restraint passes for professionalism, and silence gets praised as maturity. If you had asked him, he would have said nothing changed. If you had asked HR, they would have said there was no issue, but my calendar knew. My bank account knew. My body knew. This is what retaliation looks like when it doesn't want to be caught. When it wants to remain reasonable. When it wants to look like coincidence. It's quiet. It's clean. And it works. I had been at the company long enough to understand how power moved through it. Not loudly, not chaotically. Everything there was contained, measured, emotionally conservative. We were a mid-size operations firm, based in southern Finland, the kind of place that liked to describe itself as flat and collaborative while still maintaining a very clear, very quiet hierarchy. Titles didn't get thrown around, but everyone knew who mattered. Everyone knew who made decisions, long before decisions were officially made. I worked in scheduling and logistics. I wasn't entry level, but I wasn't senior leadership either. I sat in that middle layer where you're trusted with responsibility but rarely with credit. The layer that absorbs pressure from above and frustration from below. My boss had been there forever, long enough that people spoke about him as if he were part of the building. He was calm, impeccably controlled. Not charismatic, but reassuring in a way that made people assume fairness. He didn't raise his voice. He didn't flirt. He didn't touch anyone. He didn't joke in ways that could be quoted later. That's why what happened took so long to register. At first, it felt like mentorship. He started looping me into discussions that weren't strictly part of my role. Asked for my input privately before meetings. Let me know when leadership was considering changes that would affect my department. It wasn't inappropriate. It wasn't personal. It felt like recognition. When you've worked long enough without being seen, that kind of attention lands gently. It doesn't feel dangerous. It feels overdue. I noticed, though, that the conversations always happened one-on-one. Not secretive, just separate. He never invited others into them, never referenced them later in group settings. When I tried to bring up ideas I'd shared with him in meetings, he would nod politely, but move the conversation elsewhere. The ideas would resurface later, sometimes credited to no one at all. That bothered me, but not enough to confront him. Confrontation wasn't how things were done there. Then the tone shifted. It wasn't a single moment, more like a narrowing. The questions became more personal, not invasive, just adjacent. How I managed stress. Whether I ever felt burned out, what I wanted long term, beyond the company. He framed it as concern, career guidance. I answered carefully. The way you do when you sense there's more at stake than honesty. I didn't tell him I was considering applying for a leadership role elsewhere. I didn't tell him I felt stalled. I didn't tell him I'd noticed how women who challenged decisions stopped being considered good fits. I told him I was committed. That I valued stability. That I liked the team. The moment I realized something had shifted was small. I declined a suggestion. Not aggressively, not emotionally, just a calm no. He had floated the idea of me taking on additional responsibilities, without a formal role change, framed it as trust, as preparation, as a chance to prove readiness. I asked whether it would come with adjusted compensation or title. He smiled, the same polite smile he always wore. Said, "We could talk about that later." I said I wasn't comfortable taking on more without clarity. He didn't argue. He didn't pressure. He just nodded and said he understood. That was the last normal interaction we had. The retaliation didn't announce itself. It seeped. The following month, my schedule changed. Not dramatically, just subtly. I lost the premium shifts, the ones with overtime, the ones that made the difference between managing and worrying. They weren't reassigned to anyone in particular. They just rotated elsewhere. When I asked about it, my boss said the team was being balanced, that everyone needed fairness, that I had been carrying a heavier load and this was about sustainability. It sounded reasonable. It always did. Then I stopped being invited to certain planning sessions. Meetings I'd been part of for over a year suddenly didn't include me. The calendar invites just stopped coming. I assumed it was an oversight the first time. The second time, I checked the attendee list afterward. Everyone else was there. When I asked him about it, he said the meeting had shifted focus, that it was more strategic, that he hadn't thought it would be relevant to my role. He said this kindly, almost apologetically. I told myself I was overthinking it, but patterns are hard to ignore once you see them. Colleagues started treating me differently, not colder, just cautious. Conversations ended when I entered the room. Decisions were already made by the time I was looped in. One of them, a woman I'd worked closely with for years, stopped asking for my input altogether. When I asked her directly if something was wrong, she looked uncomfortable and said she didn't want to get in the middle of anything. That was the first time anyone acknowledged there was a middle. I started documenting things quietly. Dates. Changes. Missed opportunities. I didn't do it with the intention of reporting. I did it to ground myself. Gaslighting doesn't always come from words. Sometimes it comes from the absence of them. From the way reality rearranges itself, while everyone insists nothing has changed. I considered going to HR. I didn't because I knew how it would go. They would ask for a specific incident. A quote. A message. A witness. They would ask whether my boss had explicitly threatened me. He hadn't. They would ask whether I could prove intent. I couldn't. What I had was erosion. What I had was exclusion. What I had was professional suffocation, executed with perfect manners. And I knew, deep down, that if I went forward without a smoking gun, the only thing that would change was how carefully I was watched afterward. I tried adapting. I volunteered for projects. Offered flexibility. Made myself useful in visible ways. None of it mattered. Opportunities that once came to me now bypassed me entirely. A temporary leadership assignment opened up, and I wasn't even considered. A role I was qualified for went to someone with less experience but better alignment. Alignment was the word that kept surfacing. When I finally asked my boss directly whether I had done something wrong, he looked genuinely surprised. He said my performance was solid. He said there were no concerns. He said I seemed stressed lately and perhaps needed space. He suggested I focus on execution rather than advancement for a while. It was delivered so gently that for a moment I wondered if I was imagining everything. But power doesn't need to raise its voice to be heard. It just needs to decide. I realized then that the retaliation wasn't about punishment. It was about containment. I had pushed back. Quietly. Respectfully. And that had marked me. The end didn't come with a blow-up. It came with a slow, deliberate shrinking. My income dropped enough that I had to make changes. Cut expenses. Delay plans. Pretend it was temporary. my confidence took the deeper hit. When you're openly attacked, you can defend yourself. When you're quietly sidelined, you start questioning whether you deserve the fight at all. I stayed longer than I should have, partly because I needed the job, partly because leaving felt like confirming his version of events. Eventually, an external opportunity came through. Not a promotion, not a rescue, just a lateral move with clearer boundaries. I took it without telling anyone, until the paperwork was done. My boss congratulated me, warmly. Said he was happy for me. Said he'd always valued my contributions. There was no apology. No acknowledgement. No reckoning. I left with my reputation intact, which was the point. His, too. From the outside, it looked like a clean transition. A professional evolution. Nothing to see. But I carried it with me. The way I hesitated before pushing back in future roles. The way I documented everything even when nothing seemed wrong. The way Pauliness now set off alarms instead of reassurance. Quiet retaliation teaches you that harm doesn't need drama. It just needs patience. It teaches you that systems don't have to be cruel to be effective. They just have to protect themselves. And it leaves you with a residue that doesn't fade easily. A constant awareness that saying no can cost you everything. Even when no one ever raises their voice